Well, good morning. Hope everybody had a good week and was able to come out to Bible school and just several good things this week. But good news, we can have baptism behind the church today. Oh, we got a lot of rain, ain't we? But Lord knows exactly what we need, and I appreciate that too. If you got your Bibles, open to 1 John chapter 5. We'll continue here where we left off and try to pick up about verse 4. But First John chapter 5. So we've been looking at there in verse number 1 through 3, really at just the simplicity of the message that we have. Verse 1, we were looking at the simplicity of our salvation, that it is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that allows us to be born of God. And then the simplicity in the association or relation of Christ and God, how it's so simple that Christ said, I'm in the Father and He's in me. It's that simple, Matt, but at the same time, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around. Salvation's hard for us to wrap our mind around. That's why you've got so many people out there trying to work for it and do all these things for it. They can't wrap their mind around that it's just that simple, that it's just Christ. It's just Christ. But then also the substantiation we found in verse 2 there about, he said, by this we know that we love the children of God. How is that? Well, first off, you've got to have love for the Father. And that's what tells you if your love is right for others. And then lastly, in verse number 3, we'll pick up the reading. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So we see the motivation for us doing what we're supposed to do for the Lord ought to be our love for God. And when we love Him, then His commandments are not grievous to us. That has to be our motivation. Verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so we're going to stop right there. And we'll primarily really just look at three different things here in these two verses. And so what we're dealing with is hopefully, obviously, as you read this, it is the overcoming, it's the victory of the saints, right? And it's not talking about heaven here. Everybody understand that? It's talking about right now, Jesse, that we can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the expectation for the life of every Christian, is that we live victoriously over the world, that we overcome it. And so here we first see in verse number 4, he said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And then the question in verse 5 is, who is he that overcometh the world? So the question is, what is the adversary? That's the first thing I want to look at, right? And we understand that the book of 2 Corinthians teaches us who the god of this world is, right? It says that the god of this world has blinded the minds. That's Satan, that's the devil. He's the god of this world. And when we're talking about the world, we're not talking so much about this physical earth. Right? We're talking about the wickedness, the ways of this world, the things that are in this world. And if we flip back just as a reminder to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yep. For all that is in the world, here's the big ones, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I'm thankful that God has given us a means to overcome our adversary. And Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from what? This present evil world. So there's a way of escape through Christ according to the will of God and our Father. So it was God's will that Christ come. He would die for our sins. And in doing so, when we place our faith and trust in Christ, see, Christ was an overcomer of the world. He didn't do any sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, right? He knew no sin. So he overcame it. And when we place our faith and trust in him, we have a new birth, and that gives us the power to overcome it as well. Bible says over in Romans, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I'm thankful that we can overcome the world. But the reality of it is we'd have a real adversary. And everybody here understands that and experiences that on a daily basis. So book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, I think it is. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So you see that there's a clear contrast between the ways of the world. That word rudiments just means principles, the things of the world, the teachings of the world, the ways of the world. So there's a clear contrast between Christ and that the way the world wants to go. And so as a believer, here's the problem. Our bodies are not saved yet. So in our own bodies, we also have that contrast. Because if you've been born again, you have the new nature, which is Christ. But then at the same time, we've got the old nature, which is the flesh. And so there's a constant pull in two directions. And it is a hard fight. And it is a warfare. Paul described it, didn't he? He said, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." Right? And he got to the point, I feel like he gets to the end of that and he's frustrated as he's talking and he's saying, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Yep.
He says, "How do I get out of this?" I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's our only means of coming out of that. And this world has a stronghold on every person that has flesh. Who does that exclude? Nobody. It's a real adversary. And that's what the devil uses to tempt us. He used it on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? In those three ways we saw in 1 John chapter 2, he did the same with the Lord Jesus. Guess what he uses against you? The same three things. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's if you sum all your problems as far as sin goes, all your desires, everything that would lead you from Christ in this world, guess where you can look? You can look in those three categories. Every time. That's why when you turn on the TV, you look at the commercials, what do they appeal to? They appeal to one of those three things, right? They either appeal to sensuality or some kind of food or something that your flesh desires or your eyes desire. You don't see too many ugly people on the commercials. Is that not right? If you see something about alcohol or smoking or vapes, they don't show you the negative side of that, right? It's always things that appeal to your flesh. They want you to feel like, man, that'll make me cooler. That'll make me better. That'll make people like me more. Right? Everybody's either bodybuilders or supermodels on there. I mean, that's just the way the world is. They like to paint pretty pictures. And that's from the devil, who that's from. He's the god of this world. And so as he does that, he makes you see and hear and think and taste and you, that all that stuff appeals to your flesh. And it appeals to my flesh. I mean, that's what we are. Now, what appeals to my flesh might not appeal to your flesh, but you've still got flesh, and something appeals to that. And you might not have trouble in the, maybe you don't have trouble in the pride of life part, but if you don't, I guarantee you got it somewhere else. We've all got problems, and it's a real thing. And when we go about our lives and act like we don't have this, then all we're doing is deceiving ourselves. And we ought not do that. It's a lot easier if we recognize the adversary that we have. And just deal with it. Just deal with what we have. And I'm thankful that John, and through the Holy Ghost, didn't just write this and say, well, you've got an adversary, but you have no means of dealing with it. Just do the best you can. We don't have to do that. We don't have to just struggle through this thing. And so often I feel like Christians constantly are battling and struggling with these all of these very things. We're constantly being pulled by the world, and we're overcome. And some of us here, I mean, even sitting here, I imagine, since you've been here today, maybe not today because it's raining and it's nasty outside, but some of you, even coming in here, if it's a pretty day, there's something out there that's drawing you that says, hey, there's a part of you that would like to be doing something out there. And you can say no. But if everybody in here was honest, you could say that your flesh doesn't want this. There's nobody's flesh that wanted to come here today and hear from the Word of God. That's not how this works. So we've got to overcome that some way. How do we overcome it?
Yeah.
See, a lot of people can't overcome it. That's why they're not here.
Right.
That's the reality of why, you know, some people come to me and they'll say, man, I'm looking forward to getting to Sunday school. I want to come to Sunday school. I want to do that. Or I want to come to church. I want to come Wednesday night. I want to come this or that. Well, I understand there are reasons why some people don't and can't. That's not what I'm talking about. But Creston, there's some that it's these three categories of things of the world that's their only hindrance. It's they choose to go after something they've seen, something their flesh desires. Maybe it's the pride of life. Maybe it's money. Some people it's just a drive for money. They want more and more and more. And that's what they go after instead of God. But this is a real adversary. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said to Timothy, comes down to the end of his life, and he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Sad passage. Sad passage, because if you go back to Colossians 4, in verse 14, Paul said, Demas is with me.
Yeah.
You can go look at this. Paul had confidence in this guy. You can also look over in Philemon chapter, chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 24. He says that he was my fellow laborer.
That's exactly right.
Paul had confidence in him.
Yeah.
Said he works with me. So it's not that this is just the allure to the sinner.
Right.
But this can be the allure to our pastor. You've not arrived, have you? I've not arrived. You're sitting in the back there. You've not arrived. And everything between. And the allures just change. Maybe the things that used to get you don't get you anymore.
Right.
But now you've got different things that you like.
Oh, yeah.
And they still appeal to the flesh. Folks, this is something that you got to deal with till we die.
Yes.
And no wonder that Paul said, I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I'm ready to get out of this mess.
So we have a real adversary, and the question becomes is how do we overcome that? That's what the verses are talking about, right? It says in verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world?" There is a world to overcome.
Yep.
There's something we have to get over top of to be able to get past. And it's a continual thing. It's not just I get past it today and tomorrow I ain't going to deal with it anymore. It's a real thing. It's one step at a time. We're constantly trying to overcome things that get in our path. And you can rest assured the devil is going to lay plenty of stuff in your path if you're going after God. And I can attest to the more that you try to go after God, guess what happens? The more stuff that the devil's going to try to throw in your way. That's just the reality of it. He is against you, and he is the God of this world. Know that he makes things happen. He does. Real adversary, real world, real struggles, real problems that every one of us have. That's just a reality, and John's summing up his book reminding us that we need to overcome this and asking us, how can you overcome this? So, here's the thing. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me. How do we overcome? How do we overcome? I think this right here is probably the biggest part of it. Book of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Very familiar passage. We look at it a lot of times for talking about the blessed hope and the return of Christ. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in" where? "This present world." Looking, so here's a continuation of that. "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So what we have here is Paul's telling Titus, here's how you teach people to overcome the worldly lust, to come out of this present world. First off, you have to understand the grace of God. That's how he starts that. Do you notice that? "For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared." If you're ever going to overcome this flesh, you have to recognize the grace of God. That has to be on the forefront of your mind. If you want to overcome anything, it's through Christ. And if your mind is focused on Christ and what he's done for you, it makes it a whole lot harder to get sidetracked to the things of this world. That's why we've pushed so much through this book to set our affections on Christ. It has to be Christ. Brother Doug, if you focus on what you're doing, if you focus on, you know, what I can do, what I can't do, and how to stop this and start that, and all, when we focus on those, we end up depending on our own selves. But we can't depend on our own selves to get us through this stuff. But that's what we do a lot of times. We try to depend on ourselves. But you and I can't do it. It's not in us to do it. It's only in Him. And so we have to understand that it's His grace. And then you've go to verse number 12. It's His grace that's teaching us. Right? That's what he's telling us. It's teaching. So it takes the grace of God to teach us. The more we understand about His grace, the more that teaches us how we can overcome.
Right.
Through Christ, we see how He overcame for us. And it makes us and changes our desires to want to overcome for Him. That's why He just said in the previous verse that His commands are not grievous.
But you've got to love Him to get to that point. It all is just a domino effect. And it all relates back to how we love God. If you love God, Romans 13, we say it all the time, tells us that will take care of our sins. But we've got to get to that point. So how do we do this stuff? We've got to focus on Christ and our love for Him. That's what we have to do. So we're looking, the things that we're looking for here, we're paying attention to His grace that brought salvation. We're reminded of what God's brought us out of, the things that He's done for us, and now how that He's teaching us to be pure and to get out of this stuff. And then also, what are we looking forward to? So we're looking back at the grace of God and what He's done, but His grace don't end back yonder. But then he goes on in verse number 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope. So we're not just looking backwards, Creston, but I can see grace back there. I can see grace right now in my life and what he's doing. But I'm looking for this grace that's in verse 13, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. So when our mind is on his grace in the past and his grace in the present and his grace in the future, it's hard for me to get sidetracked to the things of the world. But if I take my eyes off of Him and start looking around at everything else, it's real easy for me to get lured off to the side and get my affections elsewhere. So we've got to be so careful for that. And it affects all of us. But if we'll just focus on what Christ has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do, and looking forward to one day He is coming. And what did John say? Do you remember what John said over there? And was it chapter 3, the very, very first of it? 1 John chapter 3. You remember that? He started talking about the Lord appearing. But then he got down in verse number 3. And he said that, and every man that hath this hope in him, does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How do you overcome? You got to have that hope down on the inside of you that Christ is coming. That's why that same thing is being taught by Paul in the book of Titus. He's saying, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. I promise you, if your mind is on the return of Christ and that it could be any moment, you better believe it will affect how you live. But it's when we get our mind off of that and we forget that He's coming, then we live loosely, right? That's the difference. Does your life change whenever something is coming up soon versus something that is 6 months out, a year out in your life? There's a difference, isn't there? We're naturally creatures that procrastinate. Maybe not everybody. Maybe everybody in here, as soon as they know something's happening, they just take care of it. And I like to, honestly. But there's still some areas in my life I like to procrastinate. But this matter of purifying ourselves, you'll not be able to wait till the end to do that. You understand you can't purify your life in just a moment. Now we understand that salvation we can, right? Salvation, Christ moves in, He does something on the inside. But purifying is a process. And chances are, Adam, none of us are going to know the exact second we're going to die. And so we need to be working at it from now till then to be as much like Christ as we possibly can. And it's His goal for us that we overcome. And we're not in this. The good thing is that, you know, this is a battle and it's a real adversary, but we're not in it alone. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. Over there in John 17, and I know we've looked at some of these scriptures in the past, but it's just a good reminder. John 17, verse 14, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
But I like the next verse. It says, neither pray I for these alone.
Right.
You see, if he stopped right there, it would have just been for his disciples. But he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I'm real thankful for that verse. And you ought to be too. That means Jesus prayed for me. And he prayed for you. And that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. There's that truth again. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, that's one reason we know that when he's talking about the world, he's not talking about this physical earth. This physical earth don't believe. Can't believe. But he says right here that the world may believe. He's talking about people. So, they may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one.
Yes.
See, that's his goal. He's got a place he wants us to get. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a beautiful prayer for you and I. He prayed that for us. That we be one in Christ and the Father. One with each other. Being able to overcome this world. That our lives would be such that when people saw us, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his desire for us. But if we're out chasing the flesh, chasing our worldly desires, doing the things that our bodies, our flesh desires, the pride that we naturally have, if we go out after those things, you can't be an effective Christian. The world will look at you and say, well, you're just like everybody else. So you can't make an impact. I don't know too many people that are impactful that do just what everybody else does. Do you? So that's why he said, come out from among them, be you separate. Right? We're supposed to be different. I've never met an impactful person. I mean, even outside of Christianity, on the job, at school, a motivational speaker, whatever you want to call them, anywhere. A person that's somebody's hero who didn't set themselves apart in some way. That's the way this thing works. If you want to have an impact, you've got to set yourself apart. And this book tells us how we do that.
Amen.
Every one of us has to do it. If you're not interested in setting yourself apart, being different, you're not going to have any impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reality of it.
Yep.
You want to go about doing things just like the world does? You won't do a bit of good for Christ. That's just the truth of it, Brother Creston. That's what the Scripture teaches us. But I'm glad that he didn't just pray for me, though. But I guess this is the one that makes me the happiest. Is that it wasn't that he just prayed about it, but he experienced it. And if you look over in Hebrews chapter 2,
yep.
Hebrews chapter 2, this one... Hebrews chapter 2. We'll jump over to chapter 4 too. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. If he hadn't experienced what he experienced, the way I read that, his ability would have been different. But because he allowed himself to experience what you and I experience, yet he was without sin. He's able to succor. That word means he can run to our aid, run to our rescue, run to our help whenever we need him.
And then you can read over there in chapter 4, verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, one of my favorite in all Scripture. Let us therefore, because of this, because he was tempted like you and I, because he chose to suffer like you and I suffer temptation, he says, let us therefore come boldly. In other words, you don't have to hide your temptations. You don't have to hide your struggles from the Lord. He says, come boldly with them. He knows they're there. It don't take him by surprise. He's experienced it. So let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. When? In time of need. When can you get help?
Yes.
When you need it.
Right.
When do we need it? All the time.
All the time.
That's right. So if you're struggling in this way, understand that you've got a God that's already made intercession for you. He's already took care of that part. But then he also, Nathaniel, he experienced it as you and took it upon himself so that he could, in times of need, when you're struggling with that problem, you can go to him and he can look at you and he can say, I completely understand what you're going through. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's not a God that wants to beat you over the head and say how bad you've done. That's a God that says, hey, I appreciate you being interested in wanting to do something for me and trying to do this thing the right way. Folks, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's long-suffering, he's kind. You better believe he loves his people.
Right.
And when you come to him, it's not... So often we get in our mind that I can't bring my needs to him, I can't bring my problems, my temptations, my troubles. It's like we think that it's in those times that he turns his back on us. But it's in those times, according to the Scriptures, when he wants us to run to him for help. And if we'll just do that, there's help. There is help for us. And I'm thankful for it. Me and Doug's thankful for it. Folks, it's a blessing to know that even though we have an adversary, we've got a greater help. We've got an advocate. There you go. I like them A's. So I'm so thankful for it. But all right, let's move on real quick. I want to get through these verses. So he says, verse number 4 again. I'm in the wrong book. Let me get back to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse number 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So the next thing I've got a question for is, okay, if we can overcome, if we've got a real adversary, so what qualifies us to overcome? Who can? Not everybody can.
Right.
You read that? Not everybody can overcome. But there are some that can.
Yes.
You see, everybody in the world, lost, saved, deals with the pull of the world at the flesh. Every one of them. But there's only one group of those that has the ability and qualifications required to overcome it. And he tells us what that is right here with two questions. He asks two questions. First, he says, are you born of God?
Right?
That's the question everybody in here needs to ask. If you're struggling with the things of the world and you can't overcome, then you have to ask yourself, well, am I born of God? See, that's a requirement to be able to overcome. So if you're in this thing and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, and you're going about your daily life and you're trying to live right and do right and be right to try to impress God, impress the church, whatever, guess what? You will fail. You will fall on your face.
Yes.
You can't do it. You can't do it in yourself. There's a qualification. You have to be born again. It says, whosoever is born of God, or whatsoever is born of God, is what it asks. But then also he asks this question. He says, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yeah.
It's the next question, right? That's the two things that he says right there qualifies you to be an overcomer. And if yes to both of these questions, guess what? You qualify.
Hey.
You qualify as an overcomer. So then what keeps you from overcoming? It's not what God's done.
Right.
It's what you are choosing to do. It's your choice to not be an overcomer. But we all are qualified. And obviously these two questions, are you born of God and do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They have to go together, right? It's just reinforcing the same thought. You've got to be born again. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not work without it. So last thing I want to cover in this part is the other question is where does this victory come from? If I overcome today, Kevin, can I look at me and say, man, I overcome myself? Did I do it? No, and you didn't either. If you was left to your own devices, your own self, you just go right down. You know, we'd all be in jail. Every one of us. Or be dead.
Sure.
That's the reality of it. Don't think you're better than anybody else.
Right.
Every one of us, and every one of us deserves to be in jail. And every one of us deserves to be dead. Did y'all hear me?
Oh yeah.
Everybody here. And if you don't think that, you probably need to check up on yourself.
Amen.
Every one of us has done enough that we deserve to be in jail. And for sure, every one of us deserves hell.
Right.
Even if you've not done anything. Because that's what really qualifies you for hell, is not believing on the Son of God. But we deserve that. But our victory comes from one place, and it's the same place that we get victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus promised it. You're going to have tribulation. What's he say next, though? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, we're not dependent on us. We can't do it ourselves. But we've got a faithful and merciful high priest who's already done it for us. And so we just trust him. That's how this thing works. If you've not figured it out by now, you can't do it without just trusting him. And then lastly, I know we've got to be, what time is it? Can somebody tell me what time it is? Do what? All right. I'm going to finish this last little part. It's real quick, okay? All right. So lastly, here's the last question. So what's our weaponry? What's he say in verse number 4? He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You want to know what you can use? You use faith. That's how we overcome, through faith. Through faith. It takes faith. You will not overcome apart from faith. In simplest terms, we have to take God at His word. You just got to believe God. That's what faith is. Trusting Him for the things that you can't see, things that you don't understand, you just trust what He says. You take Him at His word. That is faith. So we have to believe everything He said that He is, everything He said He's done, everything that He says He wants, everything He says He don't want, right? And then everything that He's promised that He will do. We just need to trust Him for those things. And that'll help us through these times to get victory, just knowing that we have a God that can be trusted. All our ability is completely found in this Word.
Right.
If you want to know how to overcome, you look at this Word.
Yep.
You can't look inward. You've got to look here. Got to look here. The only thing on the inside is the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we find out about Him is right here. So Ephesians 6:16, Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He didn't just say some of them. He said you could quench them all. I mean, you could put them all out. Well, here's the question though. If you're standing back and Adam, you were holding your shield and I was throwing fiery darts at you, you could quench them according to the Scripture. But would you still feel the pressure? You ever watched on TV them guys in the battle and they've got a shield and maybe there's somebody slinging a sword at them? I mean, I like that stuff. Somebody swinging a sword at them, beating the daylights out of them with it. All they can do is just hunker down behind their shield. Do they still feel the pressure? Do you reckon after so long that shield might heat up a little bit, getting hit with some of the fiery darts? You still feel the heat. You might still feel the pressure.
That's good.
Right?
Good.
He's never promised us that we wouldn't suffer. He said you will suffer. In fact, he told, I think it was Timothy, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. There's going to be some darts. You're going to get hit. But you got a shield. Hold up your shield. What's your shield? Faith in this word right here. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you quench the fiery darts that are thrown at you. And so it's not a promise that you'll never suffer, but it is a promise that you can always overcome.
Right. That's it.
And when I say always, I believe that with all my heart. I believe if there was a person that ever purposed in their heart that they were going to overcome,
yep,
and they were going to daily overcome, they can do it. I think God has empowered every one of us in here to live a sinless life. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes.
I know that we will sin, and He's already prophesied we're going to sin. He's already said it. We know that that's a truth, that we all sin, Creston. But we've got the sinless one inside of us. And it's up to you and I to let Him control rather than our flesh control. But if we will, we can be conquerors. We can be overcomers. We don't have an excuse to sin. Not one of us. When we sin, it's on us, not on Him. James teaches us about that. We don't have an excuse. It's on us. It's our own lust. But just remember, folks, we'll be done there. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Yes.
So I appreciate y'all's good attention. Just know that you can overcome. Every one of us can that are born again. And I hope that encourages you this week. Try to be an overcomer this week.
Amen.
And we'll have prayer for whoever wants to pray back through there.